As I began, it's very interesting. I heard this $382 million number thrown out as a surplus. And it's actually more than that. That's in ongoing. And at one time, we have another $101 million attached to that. Before I get to that, I'd just like to thank those that have been involved in helping me get here today. Certainly Jonathan Ball and our legislative physical analyst office, and all of the good people who work there. They keep this state on track, keep us in a good right direction, along with the governor's office and the tax commission. So I'd like to give credit where credit's due. They helped in the these slides. And then I'd like to also recognize my co-chair, Brad Last, Representative Brad Last in the House of Representatives, and then the new appointment there, Representative Mike Schultz, and certainly my co-chair or my vice chair in the Senate, Senator Van Tassel. As we go through this budget process, we get real close and personal with these folks, and very bright and very easy to work with, and I want to thank them. So this term that I've heard a couple of times since I got here, surplus, I'd like to just take a minute or two and let's define that and let's figure out what we really have of 100 and, that's good, I've thrown my notes away already. Let's figure out what we have of that 382, I think, and 101. And what we really have is not near that much. I know that was declared about 5 weeks ago. The governor's office, the governor presented his budget, and at the same time, the legislature is totally in agreement with those numbers, and they are their new revenue numbers that we have that came out the 1st of December. And there is $382 million of ongoing money and $101 in one-time money that is in the budget. But let's just take a few minutes and talk about our state budget. So let's bring up the first slide if we could. So if we look at that total budget that we have, from all sources in fiscal year 2018, we have $16.2 billion. And of that, about $885 million, but I had a percentage off with Cott this morning, but it's about a 7% increase over last year and the budget we passed in our 2016 general session. And you can see from this chart that the biggest piece of all funds is social services, and that's largely Medicaid, public education second, followed by higher education. And that has a lot to do with where we get our money in the state. Go to the next slide. So where does it all come from? Fed funds are tied with the education fund as far as because of our income tax. And our largest source of finance in 2018, both the Medicaid and the Fed funds and our income tax is 26% of the total budget. Those Fed funds are largely support social services and some goes to education, thus the dominance in the previous slide. The next big source of our budget is sales tax, back general fund, and if you remember back in 2005, we took 5% of that and created the TIF, and then we have the other pieces of that are the transportation fund. It comes from motor fuel tax, and then we have local education money that comes from property tax collected by the school district. Let's go to the next slide, please. So we tend to focus most of our budgeting efforts on two of those numbers. One is the general fund, which is 15% up there, and then we have the education fund at 26, and between those, that gives us about $6.7 billion of our budget, and that's broken out in this slide in general and education funds. And we do this because the other sources all have restricted uses, and if we can't use those, that money anywhere else. The agencies can't overspend above what's collected, and the education funds and general funds are more flexible in terms of uses. And the legislature has to assure that spending doesn't exceed revenue for these discretionary funds. So let's get down to the $6.7 billion and talk about that for a second. If we look at the flexible and education fund money alone, you get a much better sense of where the flexible and state money goes. You can see that education gets more than half of all the general fund money. You can see that also that most of the 2% transfer goes to public ed. And you add to that higher education, and we end up with the 68% of the flexible money goes to education. So now we're down to dealing with the difference there, or the other small percentage. And that's what most of us have to look at during the session. If you look at the money that higher and public education subcommittees get, that's the 68%. That goes through the appropriation process through those two committees. But education gets a lot more money than just the 68%. We said we spend a lot of money through STEM. STEM is about a $20 million spend for us. And the STEM Action Center, that's not appropriated through education. And then also a large portion of our budget goes to capital improvements or buildings on campuses and other things, and that's all spent through other appropriations, through the appropriations process. Takes us to this general fund piece that we have here that has been labeled as surplus. And so we have a $101 million, again, $382. Now, I'd like to take just a second and talk to you about what is a surplus. Well, many of you have been places like the surplus auctions, and they've sold off equipment and different things. But it's an extra, it's a leftover, it's something that's not needed. And so that's where we get the word surplus from. And that's not what we're dealing with here. I'm going to spend the rest of my time pointing that out, why we really don't have a surplus. In fact, we may have a deficiency as we go through this process. So let's take just a minute or two. And so each year we designate our appropriations into one-time and ongoing funds. And if you take a look at your personal bank account, you can decide what one-time and ongoing is. Ongoing is a salary or what you get on a regular basis, be it Social Security or be it your paycheck. It's ongoing and you use it to take care of your ongoing costs of doing business in your family. Your one-time is money that you get just once during the year for various reasons. And those reasons could be many. Maybe you had a dividend of some kind. Maybe you sold stock. Maybe you had an inheritance. Those are one-time funds. And the state breaks those into the same type of category. We certainly don't want to be taking one-time money and spending it on ongoing projects or processes. As soon as we do, we get upside down very quickly. And I could point out states across the country that have made that mistake. So if the surplus is extra and leftover, now let's break this down just a little farther. So you don't want to be spending your one-time money. You either want to be saving it or you want to be putting it into one-time projects so that it doesn't back up on you in successive years. This fiscal year 2018 appropriation includes $46 million worth of one-time appropriations that is in the budget. And so that's out of the loop. And so so now we're down considerably on the amount. We have to deduct that from the process that we had, that we looked at when we came up with all these extra or surplus funds. These numbers compare well to last year. If we go look at what went on, let's go to the next slide. We're good. There we are, right there. We're good. Thank you. The history, if we go to look at the history of our revenue, it shows us that how these numbers compare to past years. And we put together a slide that shows the available new money that we had in December. And if you go look at that, since the end of the Great Recession, or 2011, you'll notice that there are the three lines, the orange One time is blue and the red line is a combination of the two as a percentage. You can see that before we do anything, we're a bit better off than we were last year. However, we have as much new money to spend as we did in 2 years before. We don't have as much money as we had 2 years before that, and we don't have as much money as we had in 11 and 12. So if we take, we have some existing commitments. We did some things during the session last year that created what we call a structural balance. And we spent some money on some buildings in order to get through the process. And the philosophy was that buildings take more than 1 year to build. And so let's finance a building on the front end, and then let's finance the back end the second year, and we'll get these buildings that we had such a great need for, and we'll kind of get them out of our hair, and then we would pick up the balance of that this year. Well, when I say this year, I'm talking about in 2018. So what we did is we financed those buildings, and there's two or three of them. So over the past few years, we've made these commitments. And last year, we agreed to fund three higher education buildings at the University of Utah and $45 million at the U of U Rehab. We funded $17 million, that is, we funded it for the year that we're currently moving into, and then we funded $16 million at Weber State. So we need to spend out of that, well, that, I think that totals about $67 million, or $76 million. So that they were being told that we also have what we call some money that is above trend. Now, if you look at your personal budget, above trend amount of money, maybe if you received a stock dividend that you weren't expecting, but you will probably get it next year. So above trend is money that has come in. It's just above the line of needing it for ongoing expenses. And rather than classify that as ongoing money, we would like to take that and use it as one-time money. And then we'll look at it again next year. If it comes back to us, we'll take it next year and spend it as ongoing money if that trend is prolific. So with that, if you look at these numbers, again, we've come up with this money that we need to pay back to our university or pay back on the universities because we've spent money that we technically won't have until the 2018 session. So if we pull that out of the increment, and then we take, in 2010, we borrowed $210 million, $205 million from the Rainy Day Fund, and we're supposed to pay that back within a 10-year period, and we haven't paid that back. We paid back part of it, but we still have $85 million outstanding that should go back into the Rainy Day Fund. So we think this is a good time to put that back. So if we put that back, and then we have a software change that we made by administration about a year and a half ago that changed the way the revenue is allocated between the general fund and the firefighters. And that change was not intentional policy, and to roll that back cost us about $18 million. The statute requires us to appropriate money to tourism performance if the fund meets the requirements that we put on it through legislation. That's about $3 million. There are a few other technical fixes that cost $2 million ongoing and about $5 million one time. Those existing commitments have left us at about $292 and $12 million one time. And that's about exactly where we were a year ago when there was a lot of gloom and doom being preached. Let's go back to this historical comparison we have over here. After the existing commitments that we have at our fingertips, how much did, excuse me, as much as we did, we have about as much as we did last year. In fact, the percentage base is identical. We've had exactly 4.6%, which is what we had last year. And that's the lowest available revenue as a percent base that we've had since before the Great Recession. Next slide. We look at things that we have to do in the legislature. We have to take care of public education growth. So if we take care of our kids in our schools, It costs us $36 million to take care of growth. If we give the schools a 2% WPU increase for salaries, another 1% for medical, that's a total cost of $144 million. If we treat higher education and state workers the same way, that's another $52 million. And then we look at Medicaid, growth and inflation will cost us $30 million next year, plus we underestimated costs last year by $10 million. So we have to make that up with one time. In human services, we funded a myriad of programs that their current level, that if we continue to do that, they were funded with one-time money, and if we continue to do that, it will cost us about $15 million. If we intend to pay for 70% of the daily incarceration rate for jail contracting and 50% of reimbursement, that's another $13 million. And then there's Operation Rio Grande at $11 million. Wildfires like we had at Bryan Head is about 20, and then we have $5 million that need to go into elections this year. But finally, if we intend to make the firefighters whole for the past 2 years from the software update, in addition to fixing the problem going forward, that's a total of about $25 million. I don't know whether you're adding this in your heads, but I think if you get to a bottom line, we're underwater. And last slide, please. We're underwater about $21 million now. Does that mean we're going to walk out of this session out of balance? Absolutely not. We have some ways of fixing this, and I just came from a meeting this morning. I think we'll probably, the meeting we were in, if we stick with where we're to, we'll have successfully angered a good portion of the state and programs that we have cut. So we're going to scrub the existing budgets. We'll scrutinize all the increases that agencies are asking for. And then we're going to go out and look for other sources of funds that may be out there. And then when we get to the very bottom line, we're going to have a balanced budget in the state of Utah, like we always do. We'll have a AAA bond rating, and we will leave the session, and the state will be in an amazing financial shape like it is right now. I thank you very much for spending a few minutes. I hope I haven't confused this too much. I'm not a PowerPoint guy normally. In fact, I see Senator Valentine, or former Senator Valentine, sitting there. Had a discussion with him. I think he was afraid I was going to get up here today and try to discuss how federal tax cuts were going to affect the state budget. And I think the bottom line to that is I'm not sure anyone knows that. So anyway, I thank you very much. I think I do my best job normally from the seat of my pants, and I'm certainly not there in this position. Thank you for allowing me to come and talk with you for a few minutes.